Good afternoon. I thought I'd break from my normal routine and kind of do what's appropriate under the circumstances. I thought I'd start by outlining that kickoff coverage play from Thursday night and making a statement regarding my actions and thoughts surrounding that, and then provide you guys an opportunity to ask any and every question that you have in regard to it before reviewing the performance, going through the injuries, and pushing forward toward Miami, our normal Tuesday stuff. I think under the circumstances, that's appropriate. And I'll be very point blank and black and white and clear with you. My descriptions of my actions on that play are a lot of things, embarrassing, inexcusable, illegal, a blunder, being many of the things that I use to describe it. I take full responsibility for my actions on that play. I acknowledge that my actions, unfortunately, became part of the play. I also embrace that as head coaches, man, we're held to the highest standards of conduct, and I realize that that blunder fell woefully short of that expectation. And in that vein, I embrace the responsibilities that come with my position and understand there are repercussions from a blunder of that nature, and I embrace it. I also understand with my position comes the charge of preserving and protecting the integrity of the game of football. And I think probably my biggest error on Thursday night is not realizing that play jeopardized the integrity of the game from a perception standpoint. At no time Thursday night in the game or after did I realize that my actions would be perceived potentially or could be perceived potentially as intentional. And that's a mistake on my part. As someone that's in my position that's supposed to preserve the integrity of the game of football, I should have realized the potential for that and acted accordingly. I didn't realize that potential. Really, I was focused on the blunder itself, the embarrassment it produced, and moving my football team past it. That was the number one guiding influence of my actions. And not recognizing the potential of perception from that standpoint, I also fell short of the duties that come with my position. That being said, since I left the stadium, it's been shocking to me that my actions could have been or have been perceived in any way intentional in regards to my action on that play. I have no desire, and let me be clear, I have no desire to defend my character and things of that nature. I've become comfortable with the fact that in these positions you get judged in a certain way, and to a certain degree you live a public lifestyle. I've embraced that long ago. I will take this unfortunate incident and this blunder on my part and do so with honor to stand up and champion our game, and in particular the National Football League. And the integrity of that. It's all that I have professionally. It's been very good to me in my life. And to be honest with you, quite frankly, the winning of any game is not important enough for me to jeopardize that. Those that know me know that. I appreciate the support of those people. I'd also want them to know to stop calling me. I'm busy, you know, with this week's issues. But I do. But I am most concerned and will take this opportunity to talk about this great game that we have and the responsibility of us all to preserve and protect it, and particularly the integrity of it. I would never do such a thing. I would never consider doing such a thing. As unfortunate as my actions were, and there were a lot of things, again, like I said earlier, inexcusable being at the top of the list from my perspective. But it was a blunder nonetheless. And so with that being said, I would be happy to address any question regarding my actions during that play or after that play or anything surrounding this thing in an effort to be as transparent as I can and move forward with this week's business. So I'd open it up to any questions.
The NFL reviews this. Have you had the opportunity to say exactly that to anyone in the league office?
Again, initially, after the game, the thought that it was could be perceived as intentional never crossed my mind. I realized that I fell short of the expectations of my position in being where I was and my actions on the play. I'm not one to seek comfort from that standpoint, so I was just going to take my medicine, if you will. But I thought that once the integrity of the game became a question in some of the commentary and discussions, then it was my duty to speak up, and I'm taking this forum in which to do so. I have communicated with the National Football League. I exchanged communications with the commissioner on Sunday. I talked to the commissioner personally on Monday. I talked to Ray Anderson and Merton Hanks on Monday in an effort to be as cooperative as I can be under the circumstances.
Do you expect some kind of punishment at all?
Certainly I do, because first and foremost, like I said, my behavior was inexcusable. It's an inexcusable blunder on my part to be in my position. Obviously, I'm held to the highest of standards of conduct, and that conduct fell short of that. I can't make those type of mistakes, and I did, and it's something that I have to wear, and I'm capable of wearing and willing to wear. But again, at the same time, I acknowledge that I want to defend football. I think that that's appropriate as well.
Mike, did the league indicate to you that whatever punishment is coming down would be individual, or would it affect the team in terms of its penalty?
There was no indication. And I didn't ask for any in that regard. I did not. Like I said, I'm one to embrace the consequences of my actions, personally and professionally. So I wasn't looking for comfort in that regard.
Through the play, where you thought you were standing, when you looked over your shoulder, when you got out of the way, what you saw and thought?
It's standard procedure for me, and it was refreshing to hear when I talked to those guys that they did some investigative research on my procedure. Almost always when the ball's kicked off, I'm right at the kickoff line in order to watch that, a myriad of types of kicks that could transpire, offsides and so forth. And generally, once the ball is kicked off, my eyes will go to the Jumbotron in an effort to get a good perspective on the coverage and fit, particularly when we're on kickoff. Obviously, when we're on kickoff return, I may leave my eyes to the field a little bit more for lane exchanges and direction of kicks and so forth. But when I have that knowledge, because we're the team that's kicking off, I can simply go to the point of emphasis in the play or the point of contact where the two units come together. And that's what I did on the play. That's what I do on most plays. Obviously, that play unfolded in a manner that was unfavorable for us. It came back at us quick. We didn't fit it well. I got probably mesmerized by those events. And at that point, I can't tell you in terms of how I ended up in my spot. I probably walked toward the Jumbotron. Obviously, when I jumped out of the way, the thing that gave me the indication that I was potentially in the way was I saw myself coming to the Jumbotron, and that's a frightening experience, an embarrassing experience, but that's really why I moved in the manner in which I moved, because as I was watching the pursuit angle of Cortez Allen in an effort to try to run down Jacoby, I saw myself in the Jumbotron, and that's why I responded the way that I responded.
At that point where you might have seen yourself, you looked over your shoulder, did you think you were further off the field and just were waiting for them to pass you by and realize they were coming at you?
I did. When I saw myself on the Jumbotron, I jumped and looked over my shoulder probably simultaneously in response to what I saw on the screen.
Had they looked at your body actions in the past on other kickoffs on tape? Is that what they communicated to you?
I believe that if you do, you'll see that my actions are very consistent in that regard in terms of what I do on kickoff plays. I'm sure that we all as coaches have routine mechanics in terms of observing and managing the game, and that's something that I employ. Obviously, I got to do it with a great deal more caution moving forward. Hopefully, my blunder provides a lesson not only for myself but anyone else that utilizes that technique.
What reaction did you get from your family, closest friends, colleagues about the situation?
You know, I got two sons that play football, and I talk to them about what a teaching tool the game of football is, that it teaches great life lessons, and that I expect them to play the game the right way and to play it hard and fair. So obviously it created an opportunity to have an extended discussion with my sons regarding it. I did. You know, they probably still hacked off at me, but that, such is life. But it is a teach opportunity. It is something, and I try to teach. I try to utilize all my mistakes that I make in life as that, not only for myself, but those that I'm around, and it did provide those moments this weekend, specifically with my sons.
What was the response when you spoke to the commissioner? Do you think that you sort of helped your cause a little bit? Was he appreciative of the fact that you said it wasn't intentional?
I think he's appreciative of the communication. I think that I don't know if he's capable of helping my cause. Like I said earlier, as a head coach, man, we held to the highest standard of conduct. And from that standpoint, my actions were below the line. They don't judge intent. I don't know that they do. They don't do it in regards to player safety. I don't think that they would judge intent in regards to this matter. Again, like I said, my actions over the weekend in terms of communicate with them and even my actions here today are not done in a vain to minimize the consequences of my action. Really, I'm just taking it as an opportunity to stand up and champion the game of football as I should. I think that we don't do that enough. And if this unfortunate incident provides me an opportunity to do so, then I'm glad, even though the circumstances and situations are what they are.
Mike, in 7 years and hundreds of kickoffs, had you ever been told by an official during a kickoff or after a kickoff that stopped well short of you, hey, back up, get out of the way, whatever? Had you ever been admonished by an official for standing there?
I'm sure that has occurred in some form of fashion. More times than not, it's more about me noticing where I am and self-checking, if you will. If the play doesn't get to you from an officiating standpoint, then chances are they're not going to be involved with that space, and so that conversation is less of an issue. And really, that's really one of the elements of it for me, probably that lulled me into the sense of comfort that I was in. We haven't had a kickoff past midfield against us all year, and really I hadn't been in that circumstance and situation from a kickoff coverage standpoint.
You have a staffer that's assigned to keeping, like, the get-back guy. They're supposed to keep players off of that, and does that person now have permission to go get you?
He does an awesome job of that. He's probably going to be a little bit less than comfortable instructing me in that way. I'll do a better job of policing myself.
Jacoby was not hurt, but did you still reach out to the Ravens in any way? Have you spoken to them?
I did not, because I know the perspective that they have on it and are going to have on it. That's old news. They've won the game and they've moved on. The people over there that know me know my character. They know my love of football more importantly than anything else, and the level of respect that I have for this game at this level. And I imagine that they understand that that's not something that I would do intentionally. In regards to reaching out and apologizing for my behavior from a blunder standpoint, it's inexcusable. So, you know, excuses are not going to cut it. I can't be in the space, and I was. So I take responsibility for that.
Jake Glazer published a text that he said that you gave him, which is now out there for people to read. It said, if anybody thinks I or anybody else would do this on purpose, they're crazy. And I'm wondering if you hold to that position, or can you understand, based on some of the camera angles, why people would think you did it on purpose?
I understand that mentality from a media standpoint and maybe from a commentary standpoint. I think it provides hours of interesting discussion, particularly in light of some other things that have gone on in sport in recent weeks. But from my perspective and how I care about this game and the position that I hold within this game and the things that I'm committed to in regards to all of the above, the possibility that my actions could be perceived in that way never crossed my mind, to be honest with you. Not when it was occurring, not immediately after it occurred, not even after the game at the stadium. But that's just my mentality, and I realize that, you know, maybe I take an ideal approach to the game of football. Particularly football has always been very black and white to me. So from that standpoint, my commitment to it, my dedication to it, even in areas of my life where it's been a little bit gray when I was a younger guy, that's never been in question. And that's probably, again, like I said earlier, the chief mistake I made, because had I realized the potential for that, then I could have guided my actions accordingly in an effort to safeguard the integrity of the game of football after it. And I didn't do that. My actions were guided by working to minimize the level of embarrassment and moving my team past the incident to keep us focused on getting back in what was a very competitive and close football game.
You're on the competition committee. Do you think this could come up in future meetings, and do you think this jeopardizes your standing on the committee?
I hadn't pondered whether or not it's going to jeopardize my position. If it does, again, like I said, I embrace the responsibilities that come with being me and understand the potential consequences of my acts. So I'll deal with that. You know, if given an opportunity to serve the game of football, I'll do so in a great spirit. In regards to whether or not it comes up, boy, I'm sure I got some ribbon coming. It came on the sideline from my guys. It's come continually since. But I'm not one that takes myself so seriously that I can't take what's coming to me in that regard.
Expanding on your previous answer there, what you had said about it didn't strike you until you had left the stadium that it could be perceived in that regard. Was part of that maybe seeing it a couple times on replay and saying, oh, well, if I had seen John Harbaugh do that in front of Antonio Brown on the other sideline, maybe my perspective would have changed? Or
I don't know that my perspective would have changed had I seen someone else do it just because of the routine procedure that I go through in regards to that. And not only that, I'd imagine I was probably out of place from the time that the ball was kicked. I don't know at what point I got in the spot that I was at. But that's pretty tough to premeditate, considering we hadn't had a kick past midfield all year. I was probably on that spot from the time that the ball was kicked, not knowing what direction the return was coming in, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you have an idea of what a just punishment will be, or is there some nervousness now to see what they hand down?
I don't know what a just punishment is. I have no idea. There is no nervousness, to be honest with you. I'm not acting in a means to preserve my wallet or my money. My wallet and my money is what it is because of the game of football. So I guess we'll all make do.
Talking to the commissioner on Sunday, when and how did you realize that this thing had gotten bigger than you had ever thought it was?
My boys watch football. They're football fans. And over the course of the weekend, they continued to reiterate to me what a story it was. And from that standpoint is when I kind of got in line with the nature of the story and what direction it was running. And again, you know, I was less concerned about seeking comfort for myself, but when I realized that integrity of the game became the chief issue in the discussion, it's an opportunity and it's time and it's appropriate to set the record straight.
Did the Rooneys have a conversation with you or ask for a conversation?
They didn't, and you know, that doesn't surprise me. I would imagine that if the Rooneys thought I was capable of that, or if the Rooneys thought my intentions were that, that I wouldn't be sitting at this table talking to you guys today.
Mike, with that being said, moving forward, how will this change how you, monitor yourself on kickoff?
It won't change the mechanics of what I do. I believe technology helps us all. Technology in that instance provides a perspective that I don't have in person. Obviously, I'll do so in a more professional, more cautious type manner, given the circumstances.
There had also been a report on Sunday that there had actually been, ironically, a memo circulated on Wednesday alerting coaches to stay away from the sidelines. Was that the case, and was that amidst some other things in the memo?
It potentially is. I get quite a few memos, and that was a Thursday night game on a short week. On a normal week, I do a diligent job of reading all memos. On a short week, I can't tell you last week that I read some of those memos at the latter part of the week from my perspective. And by the latter part of the week, I mean on Wednesday or Thursday, if it did come in that form or fashion. But the league does a nice proactive job in terms of trying to stay ahead of some of the things that mechanically could break our game down. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was a part of a memo last week specifically in that area.
Mike, if the league takes action against you, that's one thing. If they find the organization as well, how would that make you feel if the organization got docked as well?
I have no control over their actions. So, my feeling in that regard is irrelevant. I would hope that they understand that the actions being what they are, a personal blunder of mine, they wouldn't penalize our organization in response to it. But also, I understand, in terms of being the head coach of this organization, that there's responsibilities that come with that I represent us, and that there are potential consequences that come with that. Like everyone else, I'll wait to see what their actions are and respond accordingly.
Did they indicate yesterday when you should know, when this will stop hanging over you?
They didn't give me any solid indication of that, and nor did I ask. I recognize the sensitive and touchy situation that I put them in. My actions have put them in, specifically guys like Ray and Merton, I apologize for that. I'm sure they got things that they got to look at from that standpoint, and I'll be respectful of that. Anything else in any form or fashion regarding it? Because, again, it's my desire to be completely transparent.
Ever before, as a coach, had to defend your actions like this?
I'm not worried about defending myself or my character. Like I said, I got comfortable with that long ago that I live somewhat of a public life. The people that know me. The people that don't, I care less about, to be quite honest with you. But I do care about the perceptions of the integrity of our game. And I will take this as an opportunity to strenuously defend the game of football in the National Football League from that standpoint. I won't defend myself. The people that know me, I don't need to do that. The people that don't know me, they're going to make their judgments anyway.
Mike, the last move, the one where you actually put your foot onto the field, is that, when you look back, sort of a natural instinct? Instead of just jumping to the left away from the play, you kind of pushed off.
I think if you're standing probably as straight-legged as I was, it would require some bending and some movement to the right in order to go left. I'm not as athletic as I used to be or those guys that play. I did see the Soul Train picture, though. That was interesting.
What about the Auburn one?
I've heard all the jokes, and I got it coming. We all done? All right, great. I'll move on to our normal Tuesday business, if you will. A quick review of the Raven game. It was a typical Steelers-Ravens game. Obviously, we came out on the short end of it. There are a variety of reasons why. I highlight some of them. I thought the splash play that they produced early was a significant play because obviously it produced a touchdown and really the only touchdown in the game. We did a nice job of playing red zone defense and getting stout at the end of drives and producing field goal or field goal opportunities. That splash play early was significant. I thought they made a couple significant splash plays in special teams. The field goal opportunity to put points on the board that was missed by us and the return by Jacoby after we started to gain some traction and put together a scoring drive were significant plays. Oftentimes in the history of this series, particularly the recent history of this series, splash plays and special teams are pivotal. It was at Heinz Field when we came out on top, and I thought it was in that game on Thursday night when they came out on top. I didn't think we stopped them quickly enough on third down sequences defensively. I thought they converted some third downs early in drives, and it allowed them to get points even when we stopped them. The five field goals, of course, is an example of that. And obviously not enough playmaking at the end. Now, I mentioned those things, and those things can be perceived as all negative, but I highlighted the reasons why we didn't get the job done. Obviously, there were a lot of positive things in the game. I think our team is mentally tough enough that they don't need me to mention that in an effort to move forward and meet this week's challenges. We analyzed the game in the way that we always do and looked at how we fell short and the errors in which we fell short, and those are some of the errors that were critical to the outcome of the game. A lot of effort, a lot of quality performances. We'll take that with us as well as we get ready to play the Miami Dolphins this weekend. I'll quickly look at the health standpoint of our football team. Kelvin Beachum won't be practicing here at the early portions of the week with his right knee sprain. His availability for the game could be characterized as questionable. David DeCastro with a left foot sprain. He will be limited to early portions of the week. I think his participation could be described in the same way. Brett Kiesel with his left foot plantar fasciitis. I think he could be characterized as out. He had a step backwards, obviously, when he returned to action in the football game, and I think he'll be out this week with that injury. We got a myriad of guys and injuries, of course, that could be limited in some form or fashion. Mike Adams with a left ankle sprain will practice in some capacity. Le'Veon Bell practiced yesterday in a limited capacity. We'll continue to march him back to health as he recovers from his concussion. Obviously, we'll do what we always do in terms of doing what's right in regards to his health and making sure that he goes through the necessary checkpoints to return. Thus far, it's been very positive with him, which is good. Steve McClendon with his left ankle sprain is going to work in a limited capacity, and we'll see where that week's work takes him. And the same could be said for Lamar Woodley with his left calf strain. He worked partially yesterday. He'll work partially again on Wednesday as we proceed. Fernando Velasco obviously ruptured his Achilles. Unfortunate for him, unfortunate for us. I can't say enough about what he's done for us and the manner in which he's done it. That was surgically repaired on Saturday, and he'll start the process of getting well. But we'll keep him close to us and also just continue to appreciate what he did for us. And at the same time, we'll get Cody Wallace ready to play, a guy that's a professional, a guy that's capable, a guy that's been readying himself for some time since he's been here to answer the call that he's been given right now. A myriad of bumps and bruises associated with playing, particularly playing the Ravens. We'll get those guys ready to go and get ready to answer this week's challenge. To talk about the Dolphins, I'll start with their offense. As I study these guys to prepare, Tannehill is an impressive young quarterback. His mobility is surprising for me. I remember when he came out and evaluated him. His mobility is a concern. I think it's something that is a factor into the equation in everything that you do defensively, and it's a factor in terms of deciding some of the things that they do and they're capable of doing offensively. He's capable of creating when plays break down, scrambling, running, buying time, throwing on the run. All of those are assets to his game. He's got a nice set of weapons that he utilizes. Hartline has been really impressive. In watching the tape, he's their leading receiver. He's great at creating separation at breakpoints. He's a precision route runner. He's got a well-polished game and really has no standout areas of weakness. He plays a complete game. He catches the ball in his hands. He runs the dirty routes. He can create separation at breakpoints. His run after is impressive. Obviously, we know what Mike Wallace is capable of and got a great deal of respect for him and his game and what he can do inside stadiums. He's capable of taking the top off the coverage. Obviously, since he's been in the league, he's worked hard at developing a well-rounded game, and that's evident even last week in terms of taking a short catch and turning and breaking a tackle and producing a touchdown. Love Mike. Won't love Mike on Sunday. We got business, and he stands in the way. I think he has a respect for that. We do, too. The tight end that they have, Clay, is an interesting and impressive guy. I think that if you appreciate football and you watch tape, when you run across a guy that's a personnel matchup, a guy that creates mismatches, a guy that has a unique skill set per his body type, I think it speaks to this guy. He's capable of displacing himself from the core, playing in the two-point stance, running routes down the field, across the field. He's capable of lining up at the fullback position and isolating linebackers. He's just a very versatile and good football player and a big part of what they do. Obviously, Miller is their featured runner. He's a speed guy. He's capable of bouncing to the perimeter, and he does. He reminds me a lot of C.J. Spiller in terms of what he's capable of and how to utilize him in both the run and the pass and in the screen game. And obviously up front, they're led by Mike Pouncey. Looking at him is like looking at ours, man. Genetics is something else. Got a great deal of respect for what that guy is capable of and who he is as a player. And obviously they've acquired Brian McKinney, who's been rock solid since that acquisition at left tackle and working to solidify their front. I've worked with Brian over the years in Minnesota and got a great deal of respect for his game and really have seen him in the AFC North as well. On defense, they're a 4-3 group. When you talk about 4-3 groups, you think you talk about the front. They wreak havoc with their front. They got multiple people. They got a bunch of people. They utilize them all. Cameron Wake, obviously, is a known issue to deal with from our perspective. He's a Pro Bowl caliber guy, a guy that's been across the water, a guy that's a really good rusher. His other bookend, Olivier Verner from Miami, young guy, is really making a name for himself. He's got 10 sacks on the season. He's very athletic, can bend and redirect, utilizes his hands well. He's got a hot motor. Jordan, their first rounder, also is in that mix outside. The guys inside, Audric, Starks, are highly impressive. Great one-on-one interior rushers. They probably create as much a mismatch inside as the guys that I mentioned outside do relative to their position. They've got a lot of sacks. They come from a variety of places, and those guys make them go. On the linebacker level, they got very active and aware players, running hit-type players in Wheeler and Ellerby. Familiar with both of those guys, seen them in multiple cities over the years. And they got a very sound secondary that does a nice job of minimizing big plays and making plays of their own. I think Grimes is playing really top-quality ball. You got to deal with Jones along the line of scrimmage from the free safety position. They really stress you with a myriad of looks. Got a great deal of respect for what they do schematically, very similar to what we've seen in recent years from the Cincinnati Bengals defensively. From a special team standpoint, Fields, their punter, is at about 49 yards per, really doing a nice job. And I think their coverage unit from a kickoff standpoint is something to be dealt with, and the punt return unit provides a variety of looks from a protection standpoint. Your punt team's got to be on the screws. Obviously, it's the early portion of the week. We got a lot of work to do. Look forward to doing it. We understand the significance of this football game for us and for them. Excited about doing it. Excited about doing it in Heinz Field in front of our fans. Questions?
Mike, have you seen them using Wallace in any different way than you guys did? Have you seen what development have you seen in Mike's game just from last year this year?
Again, I hadn't pondered what their plan is in regards to utilizing Mike relative to ours. Their components around Mike are different than the components that we had around Mike, so I don't expect it to be the same. I expect it to be built to suit their needs, and it is. He's a big component of what they're doing and is really doing a nice job for him. Mike is a competitor. Mike is a worker. I expect nothing but that from Mike, not only this week but in the stadium.
Mike, you have on the depth chart here Woodley listed at left outside and Worlds at right outside and Jones as a reserve. Is that the way it'll play out at the start of Woodley's
That's to be determined not only on the level of readiness, not only on whether or not Woodley is ready, but his level of readiness. I acknowledge that the work that we've gotten from Worlds, particularly on the left side of our defense, has been impressive and has not gone unnoticed by me.
Told us, I don't know if he tells you guys the same thing, that he would be.
He doesn't tell us a lot, you know.
He'd be more than willing to move to the right. Would that move make sense given what Worlds has done on the left?
It is definitely something to consider given Jason's performance since he's been down, certainly. But I'm not ready to make that determination at this time. And obviously, Woodley's health and availability is the chief element of that decision, the decision-making process.
Willie Gay said at length yesterday some of the things you talked about with Hartline, how good he is, and he raised his hand, so he burned me when I was in Arizona. I mean, do you look then at maybe having Ike on Hartline at all? Is Wallace Ike's job, or how do you?
Again, we haven't met as a defensive staff. I usually start those meetings sometime this afternoon, and that will be one of the many things that we discuss as we prepare our game plan. But obviously, matching of people and personnel matchups that are advantageous to us is a normal part of the process for us.
The AFC being what it is, at 5-7, you're not out of this. What sort of value does that have to your team as it goes forward?
It's all the value that we need, because the reality is we have enough information to understand that we don't need to look outside of what it is that we're doing right here, right now. And that's preparing to play and defeat the Miami Dolphins, and that's where our energy should be.
Reviewed the tape. Our team's targeting Ike more frequently, or because he's usually on their best receiver, is it then natural for them to go after their best receiver with Ike in coverage?
You know, I think the people that we play are better equipped to answer that. I'd probably say it's an element of both. I think that, you know, the nature of how Ike plays lends itself to people being aggressive and pitting their skills versus his, and I think that's something that he embraces. But also recognize that some of the people that he draws from an assignment standpoint are going to draw a few flies, if you will, because of who they are for their football teams.
Well, Mike, there were a couple plays. I know there was a deep ball where Ike was defending, and then there was another one. I think it was a touchdown. It looked like on both of those plays he was expecting help. Was that the case? And if so, why was the help not available that he was
getting? You know, we fell short of perfection in a few of those plays. And like I acknowledged in the review of the game performance, I thought that initial splash play was big. I'm not interested in assigning blame. I accept responsibility for it like our guys in the secondary do. We got to be better.
Do you have a roster move for us? The kid that you signed Saturday left yesterday. Is there a corresponding move today?
There potentially will be, but not as I sit here. We got some housekeeping to do in that regard. It's ongoing standard Tuesday procedure. I apologize for not having it as I sit here.
Anyone else for Coach?
Your offensive line is sort of decimated. Is there any worry about that?
We'll make do as we always do. We'll start with the healthy people. We acknowledge that there are some issues in that area that we're working on. We also acknowledge that we have capable professionals that we believe in, and given a week to prepare, we expect quality performance. And I really think that's the point to be made in regards to injuries, not only in the offensive line but any position. I think the biggest adjustment made in regards to injuries are in-game, because the people that are performing are doing so in less than ideal circumstances from a preparedness standpoint. When given an opportunity to address injuries in this manner and prepare over the course of a week, I expect those guys to perform and perform at a high level. I have no problem expecting Cody Wallace to play winning football at the center position for us, because he's going to practice and prepare all week. And any other name that you want to fill in the blank along that line of discussion with.
Helmet rule to be examined a little bit in the offseason, the popping off in mid-tackle like what happened with Le'Veon?
I'm sure it will, but, you know, I think that that's always the case. Whenever we, you know, institute a new rule, there's a review process at the end of the year to assure that we're getting the intended result and that the rule is worded in the manner in which we desire it to be worded, et cetera, et cetera.
Implemented for this season, where you can't tackle anyone with the crown of your helmet, was that then an illegal hit on Le'Veon?
Again, I hadn't looked at that from that element, to be honest with you. Given the circumstances that I'm in, I'm not calling the league office talking about anything this week.